Thanks for listening to the Faith Radio podcast of Mornings with Carmen LaBurge. I'm Carmen LaBurge. I hope you enjoy. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. I'm trusting in what you say. Today is the day. Today is the day.
Indeed, this is the day. Welcome to the Memorial Day edition of Mornings with Carmen. I'm Carmen LaBurge, your host. Today is the day the Lord has made, and we rejoice and we are glad in it. I'm wondering how you are observing this Memorial Day today. I'm wondering if you are going to a parade or a picnic. I wonder if you will spend some time today pledging allegiance to the flag and acknowledging the sacrifice of those who have given the ultimate sacrifice. I'm wondering if you are a military family. You can let me know. I'd love to know what your plans are. You can always text me at 877-933-2484. And you can let me know via email, carmen@myfaithradio.com. We've got a full day ahead here on this Memorial Day. So let's take a quick break and then we will get rolling. Happy Memorial Day. Welcome back to Mornings with Carmen. I'm your host, Carmen LaBurge. Privileged to be joined today by Dr. Kara Powell. For those of you who aren't familiar with Kara's work, let me direct you to her website, which is karapowell.com. She's the executive director of the Fuller Youth Institute and a faculty member at Fuller Theological Seminary. Kara is named by Christianity Today as one of 50 women you should know, and she serves as a youth and family strategist for Orange. She also speaks regularly at parenting and leadership conferences. Kara, welcome to Mornings with Carmen.
Well, thanks. It's great to be with you, Carmen.
Well, it's great to have you. And you have co-authored a book with Stephen Argue entitled Growing With, Every Parent's Guide to Helping Teenagers and Young Adults Thrive in Their Faith, Family, and Future. So we're going to just talk about it as Growing With, and people can check it out at growingwithbook.com. Let's just start with, why do we need another book on parenting teens?
Yeah, great question. Well, first let me say I'm a parent of teenagers myself. My kids are 18, 16, and 12. And as I think ahead to not only being a parent of teenagers, but also as they age into young adulthood, there's a part of me that's afraid that as my kids grow up, our families is going to grow apart. And not only that, as my kids grow up, my kids might grow away from God. And those are two fears that I have. And so Steve Argue and I wanted to write a book to help parents counter those fears with really practical research-based ideas to help parents know how, in the midst of kids maturing, they could continue to deepen their relationship in their family, as well as they could continue to help their kids deepen their faith journey.
So one of my observations in reading this book is this idea that as a parent of a teen, I am actually behind them in a lot of things. They are ahead of me. They know more about a lot of things. They have access to, so when you use the term growing with, this is not just about me as an adult helping someone else grow up. It is really about a family system growing together. Talk about that.
Yeah. And, you know, Carmen, that really ties well into how Steve and I define growing with. We define it as a mutual journey of intentional growth for both ourselves and our children that trust God to transform us all. So you're absolutely right. It's a mutual journey. I mean, we as parents, we're constantly learning and growing ourselves. I think parenting is one of God's great curriculums for us to teach us more about ourselves and what it means to follow Jesus. And we can share that with our kids, and we can learn so much from our kids in the midst of our growing faith relationships and our family relationships.
So how is it different for kids today than, you know, I'm 50. Obviously, I grew up in a different world than teenagers are growing up in today. How does their experience differ from the experience of their parents?
Yeah, in so many ways for kids, it feels like they're growing up faster. It's like there's this gas pedal. Life is faster. There's less institutional support. Families are working harder to make it. Kids are marinating in an environment of stress and anxiety. So, you know, as we say in our book, Growing With, for young people today, 14 is the new 24. Kids today, in some ways, are growing up faster than ever. But simultaneously, in the midst of this gas pedal that kids are experiencing, there's also this brake pedal, especially for young adults. Many of the typical markers that have signaled a young person's transition to adulthood are happening 5 or more years later, and this is from U.S. Census data. Young people are getting married 5 years later, having babies 5 years later, becoming financially independent 5 years later, finishing school 5 years later, and so as a result, just as 14 is the new 24, and kids are in some ways more mature faster, simultaneously, 28 is the new 18, and they're taking longer to reach adulthood. So, you know, if you've ever driven in a car with 1 foot on the gas pedal and 1 foot on the brake pedal, that's a pretty herky-jerky ride, and that's what it feels like for today's young people, and that's what it feels like for today's parents as they're trying to navigate this new season for teenagers and young adults, and they need some help.
So I have a 15-year-old. I'm currently teaching her how to drive. I was like physically experiencing what you were just describing. So that
did your heart start to beat a little bit faster there, Carmen?
Okay, so you have this verb that's called withing. We have a verb in our family called nervousing, and so I will tell her periodically. I'm like, "You're nervousing me." And that means I am responding to what you are doing with a rising level of anxiety. And so I appreciate the way that you and Stephen have approached this in the book. And let's just remind people, the book that we're talking about is Growing With. It's every parent's guide to helping teenagers and young adults thrive in their faith, family, and future. Kara Powell and Stephen Argue are the co-authors. You can check it out at growingwithbook.com. Kara, let's talk about that that verb, withing. What do you mean by withing?
Yeah, well, that is a verb that we made up, and as we looked at all the research on families' relationship with each other. And by withing, we mean a family's growth in supporting each other as children grow more independent. And, you know, as parents, especially of teenagers and young adults, as our kids are maturing and starting to move away from us, and Carmen, you're probably seeing this as a parent of a 15-year-old, you know, they move away in many ways. They move away emotionally. They move away relationally. Eventually, they probably move away physically. And as a parent, sometimes we take that personally. Sometimes we're tempted to withdraw because our feelings get hurt. We feel rejected. And so the image that we wanted to paint is, in the midst of your child's normal process of independence, how do you keep journeying alongside them? How do you, and I tell this story in the book with my 16-year-old, how do I be a wall that she can come back to? In the midst of my teenagers hurting my feelings, in the midst of normal everyday conflict that we have in our family, how can I be that wall that she and that my other daughter and that my son can come back to? How can I be that stable, supportive, consistent presence in their lives? And so, you know, we interviewed 75 parents from around the country and got so many practical ideas. If I can just share one of the things that great parents were quick to do in order to establish withing, they were quick to say two words: I'm sorry. They were quick to apologize to their kids. And I'll tell you, thanks to our research, I feel like I'm apologizing to my kids about every 48 hours. And if you were to read a transcript of what I say, the words aren't all that terrible. It's usually my tone of voice that is my problem. And so I'm constantly apologizing to my kids because I want to keep the slate clear between us and them. And I want to also give them a picture of the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ, and that we can constantly seek forgiveness from our Lord and Savior when we blow it in relationship with Him also. So, you know, one of the keys to good withing in a family is that parents lead the way by apologizing to their kids and in front of their kids.
I just love it. Kara, let's continue this conversation in just a moment. You are listening to Mornings with Carmen. I am Carmen LeBurge, my conversation partner, Kara Powell. We're talking about the book, Growing With, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Mornings with Carmen. I'm your host, Carmen LeBurge, continuing my conversation with Kara Powell about the new book, Growing With. She co-authored it with Stephen Argue. The subhead is Every Parent's Guide to Helping Teenagers and Young Adults Thrive in Their Faith, Family, and Future. Kara, we've already touched on withing. You've got some other verbs in here, faithing and adulting. I would love to explore those as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, faithing is not a verb we made up. Sharon Delos Parks, another wonderful researcher, first used the word to my knowledge. But the way that Steve Argue and I define faithing is as owning and embodying our journeys with God as we encounter new experiences and information. And here's, you know, even if for your listeners who don't remember that definition, here's what I would love for them to remember about faithing, is that it's not just a noun, it's a verb. Because faith is not just a noun, it's a verb. And a lot of times as we're parenting teenagers and young adults, we see shifts in their faith, and that can fill us with anxiety. When in reality, that's just a normal part of a young person's faithing process. It's a normal part of them coming to own their faith, them coming to question their faith, them coming to wrestle with their faith, them coming to, say, choose their own church and faith community instead of the one that was inherited from their parents. And so, you know, really core to faithing is that we as parents and grandparents and step-parents and caring mentors, that we're okay with our kids' tough questions about God. You know, in other research we've done at the Fuller Youth Institute, we've seen that 70% of youth group graduates have tough questions about God. 7 out of 10 admit to having big questions, big struggles in their faith. Now, before our research, that would have freaked me out as a parent and as a pastor. Oh, my goodness, so many young people are walking around with tough questions. But here's what we've seen in our research. When young people have the opportunity to express and explore those tough questions, that's actually correlated with greater faith maturity. Or put more simply, doubt isn't toxic to faith, silence is. So as a parent trying to live out our research, one of my favorite questions to ask my teenagers is, what do you no longer believe that you think I still believe? And then the inverse, what do you now believe that you think I don't believe? Because I want to communicate to my teenagers, especially as they become young adults and get ready to move out of the house, that, hey, your faith is a journey. It's a verb. It's going to keep growing and evolving. And I want us to be able to talk about it.
Okay, let's do those again. What do you no longer believe that you think I still believe? And what do you now believe that you think I don't believe? Those are
absolutely two
great questions.
Yeah, aren't they? And, you know, I learned them from my co-author of Growing With, Steve Argue, who has been asking his teenager and young adult daughters those questions for years. And, you know, sometimes your kid will say, actually, my faith hasn't changed that much. You and I are still on the same page. But recently I asked my 18-year-old that question, and he had a couple bullet points for us to talk about. And I was so glad that I asked the question and that he could calmly, you know, not in the heat of the moment, but as he and I were driving in the car together, he could explain to me some of how his faith is shifting because his faith is a verb. And by the way, so is mine. So, you know, when we paint in our families faith as a verb, it also gives us as parents more opportunities to share about our own faith journey and the lessons that God is continuing to teach us.
Well, Kara, I think it's just honest that as adults, we would acknowledge that, you know, we have questions that probably went either ignored or pushed aside when we were young. And some of those questions we still have today. And so why do we think or expect that our kids wouldn't have really serious questions? They are living in a much more culturally diverse and religiously pluralistic environment than any of us ever lived in a generation ago. And we don't even inhabit it in the same way they do now because we're not in nearly as diverse environments as they are. Can you just talk a little bit about the reality that teenagers and young adults are living in and how it differs from the one that you and I live in as, you know, maybe like full-blown adults?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, teenagers and young adults, they're just exposed to so much more. You know, they're carrying around a computer in their front pocket that, Carmen, you and I didn't have access to. And so they know so much more about different faiths. They know more about what's going on in the world. I try to tell my kids some news story, you know, as we're driving to school, and they've already heard it because they saw it on BuzzFeed or, you know, they already got the message about it on their phone before I even have a chance to tell them at 7:20 in the morning. And you know, and there's a lot of upsides to that. You know, I think there's so many gifts to technology and how our kids are exposed to so much and so many diverse cultures. One of the things, though, that we're certainly seeing with young people is a rise in mental health challenges. And, you know, as somebody who studies adolescents and works with parents and church leaders, I don't go a day without somebody asking me a question or me seeing new research on suicide, anxiety, and depression. And we certainly do talk about that in our Growing With book. Because, you know, when I was in high school, if I wasn't invited to a Friday night party, I maybe heard about it on Monday when I showed up at school. For teenagers today, when they're not invited to a Friday night party, they see it unfolding in real time on their devices while they're by themselves in their rooms on Friday night. So, you know, interestingly, the risk behaviors that young people experience with others tend to be decreasing, and this is something to celebrate. Teenage alcohol use, teenage sexuality in terms of sexual intercourse, teenage partying behaviors, those behaviors have actually slightly decreased in the last 8 years. But teenage suicide, anxiety, and depression, which tend to be risk behaviors that a teenager experiences on their own in isolation, those have actually increased. So a lot of parents and church leaders are looking for help and looking for answers because they don't know what to do when they're seeing their young person stressed, feeling isolated, and feeling anxious.
So if you are in that category of humanity and you want some resources to help you grow with your young person, we're really excited about offering the Growing With book. And I actually have some copies to give away. You can text me at 877-933-2484. You can email me, Carmen@myfaithradio.com, to enter the drawing for the copies that we have of the Growing With book. You can check it out online at growingwithbook.com. You can connect with Kara at KaraPowell.com. Kara, in the minute or so that we have left, I just want you to encourage not only parents, but other adults, because I know that the young people who I have access to are not just my own kids, but every other kid who just needs an interested adult. So can you just speak to that?
Yeah. Parents, I have great news for you. There is nobody who loves your kid like you. There is nobody who knows your kid like you. And God has put you in your child's life to shape, form, influence your child. And that's a marathon. That's not a sprint. And especially for parents of adolescents who, you know, that can be a tough season. Research shows that as your child leaves adolescence and becomes that young adult, your relationship with them is going to improve, and you're going to see some even more hope and even more relational connection. So just keep being faithful. And not only do kids need amazing parents who unconditionally love them, but kids need other mentors. And so for every adult who's listening, whether or not you're raising a kid or have raised a kid, you probably know a child or a teenager or a young adult. In fact, you're probably thinking of them right now, who could use a text from you today saying, hey, I'm thinking of you and praying for you, who would love it if you showed up to their swim meet or their Girl Scout event or showed up at the next play to cheer them on and just for them to know that you are on their team. So I'm sure all of us can think of adults, or most of us can think of adults who did that for us when we were young people, and now we have the chance to do the same.
Kara Powell, thank you so much for joining us today on Mornings with Carmen. The book is Growing With. You can check it out at growingwithbook.com. We'll be right back. I'm really excited about the next conversation. It's with Kathy Branzell. Kathy is now the president of the National Day of Prayer.
But she's also a military brat. She grew up in a military family. She married a military man. And so she and I are going to reflect on Memorial Day. We're going to reflect on the importance of the U.S. military in our life together. And we're going to do so as sisters in Christ, as people of faith. And we are, you can bet, going to call each and every one of us to a time of prayer, because that is certainly Kathy's heart and heartbeat. So Kathy Branzell up next here on Mornings with Carmen. I'm thrilled to be joined today by Kathy Branzell. I have known her for many years. I talk often about my friends, and Kathy's actually a legit friend, and she is now the new head of the National Day of Prayer across the country. So, Kathy, welcome to Mornings with Carmen, and congratulations on your new post.
Thanks so much. It's great to be back with you, and it's good to know I'm legit.
Yeah, like, right? Like, you're like a legit friend. You're not a fake friend. You're not just a Facebook friend. You're a real friend.
That's right. That's a blessing. Thanks.
So one of the things that I know about you, and one of the motivations to have you on this Memorial Day, is that you have a military history. And so talk with us about your own military experiences and then the value of people serving in that way today.
Oh, absolutely. So I'm what you call a military brat. That means one of my parents, in this case, my father, was in the military. He was in the Air Force for 26 years. He was a pilot, AC-130 gunships, and then worked in the Pentagon. And then my husband was in the military for 22 years, first in missiles and then moving over into healthcare administration. And so we've lived a military life, which is very different than any other life. And here on Memorial Day, this is the day that we pause to remember. We take a day to remember those who have given their lives for freedom, for their friends. You know, I think about John 15:13, greater love have no man than he lay down his life for his friends. And we have to remember freedom's not free. And so in that, I would just ask everyone today in the whole National Day of Prayer theme that we prayed millions of prayers a couple of Thursdays or so ago of love one another, which is then found just a few verses later in John 15:17, love one another, love one another, that we love those who have laid down their lives for us and the families that have sacrificed. Crazy stories, because the enemy always comes through the door. As soon as my father walked out the door, there was always something breaking, always something happening, always some kind of drama. And we had to pray it through, and it was really a walk of faith. And I think about, we lived in Okinawa, Japan, and they have these horrible typhoons over there, and my father would have to get the planes off the island. Well, when you take the planes off the island, you leave your family on the island. And I just have these vivid memories of my mom with my brother, who was just a few weeks old, and I was in kindergarten, and our house is flooding. Things are breaking outside. The winds are roaring, and my mom's mopping, trying to take care of my son, trying to take care of me. There's no electricity. And, you know, she did it with such grace and courage, but that's part of the military family, the military sacrifice.
So, Kathy, I think we have a challenge as people who have this dual citizenship, because we love, I mean, and today's one of those days when, you know, I love America. I love my country. Mm-hmm. I love the cause of freedom. I love the way that we advance liberty to other people around the globe. And yet I feel that pushback sometimes, that what I'm engaged in is some kind of, you know, worship of America. And that's not what it's about. Mm-hmm. I'm seeking to worship God. I'm seeking to celebrate America. So maybe let's spend a minute talking about the positive, identification with what we might call civil religion, and then sort of the over identification when it goes beyond patriotism to some kind of strange reverence.
Yeah, that's really a good point. And I just view my life here as stewardship. But, you know, I just think about the quote of, about how life is God's gift to us and how we live it is our gift back to Him. And so it's not that we worship creation. It's that we steward creation. It's not that we worship America. It's that we steward the blessing of living here. And if you've gotten to travel around the world, I'm always happy to come home, despite the fact that we are far, far from perfect. We have so many comforts, so many blessings, so many religious freedoms here in America. I don't have to worry that my government is going to come busting in and arrest me or shoot me in church on Sunday. I don't have to worry about an illegal search of my house and finding a Bible, and that's the end of me. And so there's so much that God has given us here in America that needs stewarding. And just getting to go to school, the fact that our kids get to go to school, we don't have to. If you get this mentality right, we don't have to, we get to. We get to go to work. We get to go to church. We get to go to school. And maybe people aren't feeling that. You know, today's a holiday and everybody's like, yay, I don't have to go to work. But tomorrow, the bottom line is we have so many freedoms and we get to do so many things. First, because of God, and second, because of those who have defended our freedom and liberties for all these decades.
And today, as Americans, we have the opportunity to be good stewards of the freedoms that others laid down their lives in order that we might enjoy. And so on this Memorial Day, let me encourage you to give appropriate reverence to God, to give appropriate celebration and prayers of gratitude and thanksgiving for the lives of those who have made the ultimate sacrifice of their own life on our behalf, on freedom's behalf. Pray today for their families as well. So Kathy and I are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to pivot and we're going to talk about prayer. Kathy's book, her latest book, she's got many, but her latest book is An Invitation to Pray. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about the National Day of Prayer and how to make that a lifestyle of praying, caring, and sharing, and not just a one-day event in our lives. So all of that is up next.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife.
Continuing my conversation now with Kathy Branzell. Kathy is now responsible for the National Day of Prayer. You and I recognize that as an event that we all participate in on the first Thursday of May. But I think Kathy and I would both be very interested in having the National Day of Prayer become a lifestyle, something that we walk out in love toward one another, toward our neighbors all year long, not just one day. So Kathy, talk about the National Day of Prayer. Maybe give us a recap of the most recent one. Give us maybe a forecast of how you see it being walked out in the lives of individuals and in our communities in the year ahead.
Thanks. We were so excited this past National Day of Prayer, which is the first Thursday of May. Many people don't know that that's a law. That it was a unanimous vote in Congress back in 1988 to establish the first Thursday of May as the National Day of Prayer for the president to call us to prayer for our nation. It has a history going all the way back to George Washington. And all the coordinators, the thousands and thousands of coordinators that are with us throughout the year who are reaching their city for Christ, who are praying over their city, praying over their state. We all say that we're really national daily prayer because our nation needs prayer every day. And so also understanding that in the unchanging God that we worship and that His word is as relevant today as it was the day that it was inspired and scribed, all of our themes come straight from the Bible. Scripture hasn't changed and won't change. It's truth. It's commands. And so this year's theme was love one another. And it wasn't just a slick slogan. It wasn't an opportunity for a sermon series. It was the commands right off of Jesus's lips. Love one another. And so as millions of prayers were prayed on the first Thursday of May this year. Now we want to put those prayers into practice and live out love every day and pray every day. It's the model that Jesus gave us. I think I've said this on your show before. You know, it's the everyday along the way practice of Jesus prayed, Jesus loved, he cared for people, he met their physical needs, and then he shared the kingdom message. In that order, he made people feel safe, he made people feel loved, and then he gave them wisdom, he taught them something. And it's the same for us. We need to be living out that lifestyle so that transformation can take place, and eternal transformation can take place in people's lives.
So, Kathy, you and I both know what Love 2020 is. There may be some people listening who don't know what Love 2020 is and don't know this. I'll describe it as a formula, this way of life: prayer, care, share. And it really, you can't skip the first one. Like, prayer is essential. And so we could have the why pray conversation and as a part of the prayer, care, share conversation. So you can take that any direction you want, but that's the conversation I'd like to have.
That's great. That could be about, 50 shows worth of conversation. But let me just say, you know, we know no prayer, no power, no power, no victory. If we labor on our own, it's in vain. And so understanding your Creator God, who is supreme, who reigns, who loves you, who gave you life, who authored your days, the good deeds set before you were even born, he's almighty. And he hasn't called you to do anything that he hasn't equipped you to do. He's not a cruel father. You know, you wouldn't ask a two-year-old to go out and mow the lawn. And so if we wouldn't do that as good parents, as good people, how much more would our Heavenly Father? And so then understanding that we need to pray, we need to praise him. When we give praise and thanksgiving, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. When we do that, we get an awesome picture of him. We understand more fully. Our brain engages as well as our heart to say, this is who he is and this is what he can do. And it's abiding. It's a personal relationship. Prayer is a relationship, and you give praise and thanks to people that you're in relationship with. You affirm them and give them affection and attention. And so that's the beginning of prayer, and it gives us strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And then in that, we can begin to ask, and we can begin to listen, and he gives direction. And we love people through his love. And, there may be somebody in your life that you think, oh, I'm sure he didn't mean love that person. But more than anything, he meant love that person. And so we can only love by loving through his love, and that only comes through prayer and relationship.
I find, Kathy, that I'm the first person that's changed when I'm praying.
Yeah.
When I'm praying in relationship to a situation or an individual or a concern, I am the first person changed by mm-hmm. praying. And so it has this way of thinking about it, this prayer, care, share lifestyle, keeps me mindful that my prayers are intended to be lived out in loving action toward others. And that it doesn't just, it begins with prayer, but it certainly doesn't stop there. And I think about everything that James has said about, you know, the relationship between faith and works or love and action. And it has really empowered and equipped me in my own life of faith, in relationship to walking what I'm praying out into the world in ways that honor Jesus. And you do that beautifully. Hey, how can we be praying for you? You are now the president of the National Day of Prayer Task Force. Tell us how we, as your brothers and sisters in Christ, can be praying for you.
Oh, wow. I appreciate that. That's the greatest thing that you can do, is not only pray for me, but pray for the entire National Day of Prayer Task Force. They're an incredible team, and I'm just so thankful to be serving in a deeper capacity with them. I've served them in some way or been a part of them for 19 years. And so I would just ask that people would be praying that God would give us wisdom and equip us to call a nation to prayer and teach a nation to pray. I know there's so many people out there that are like, I want a strong prayer life. I want to have a deeper prayer life. And then, yes, I want to go walk out that prayer life, but I just don't know how. And so I would just ask that you would pray that we would be equipped to do that, that we would draw people to Jesus in that way, and that we would be able to teach people to pray as well as call them to pray.
Let's do that. Father, I thank you for my sister Kathy. I thank you for the National Day of Prayer Task Force. I thank you that we live in a nation where we can publicly pray. And we thank you for this Memorial Day and those who have so graciously given their lives in freedom's cause. We pray specifically today for Kathy and the National Day of Prayer Task Force as they seek to call us to be a nation of prayer and teach us to be a nation that prays. Father, we come before you as sisters in Christ and friends in Christ and fellow laborers in your kingdom, and we thank you, thank you for the ultimate sacrifice of Christ on this Memorial Day. In his name we pray. Amen. Kathy, my friend, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, friends, I'll be right back with more Mornings with Carmen. So on this Memorial Day, I just want us to just be very mindful of what it means, of really what it means to live in such a way that we would sacrifice on behalf of the gospel, on behalf of the values of freedom. I want you to just think about that today. Like, what sacrifice would you be willing to make? And would you be willing to make the kind of sacrifice that those whose lives we acknowledge today on Memorial Day, would you be willing to make that kind of sacrifice? And if not, for what would you make that kind of sacrifice? I'm always mindful on Memorial Day of Christians across the centuries and around the globe who have freely offered their lives as martyrs. And so on this Memorial Day, as we consider those who have given their lives for our country and its values, it is legitimate for us to take a moment and to consider just what kind of sacrifice we'd really be willing to make. Would we really? Not if just push came to shove, but if the question got to the place where in the book of Hebrews, you know, it talks about the shedding of blood. If it actually came to that, would you stand for Christ? And I think it's a legitimate question for us to ask. It's a good question to reflect upon. Because today, around the globe, Christians are being asked to make, required to make, that ultimate sacrifice. And so we want to be mindful today of all of the ways in which we are oftentimes asked to lay down our life. And so today, as you walk the gospel out into the world that God so loves, I want you to remember and never forget who Jesus is. I want you to remember and never forget who we are called to be. And I want you to remember and never forget the reality of very, very real sacrifice. All right, you've been listening to Mornings with Carmen. You can email me, carmen@myfaithradio.com. You can visit us there if you want to grab today's podcast and share it with someone else. Have a great day, and God bless. I'm Carmen LaBurge. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast of Mornings with Carmen LaBurge. Remember, it's your prayerful and faithful financial support that makes both the live show and the podcast available. Make your gift at myfaithradio.com.